a project that I worked with in Guyana for a couple of years. It was it's called the Shade House Vegetable Production Marketing Project. And I really want to give a shout out to Kelvin Craig, who's the person on the ground in Guyana who's managing this project. And by the way, he was educated with a master's degree at Purdue University as an ag economist. They launched this project in 2010 as a response to floods in coastal soil. So they lost a lot of crops to diseases. So they decided to pull them up off the ground and use hydroponics and use appropriate technology for the country, which was shade houses, because they have a tropical climate, so they don't really need greenhouses, but they need the shade houses to protect from the sun parts of the year and also to control insects to some extent. And I was asked to work there because the main thing they wanted to do is make this a profitable crop, and I have expertise in cost accounting and greenhouses, so it was an easy transition. So they wanted to do two things. They wanted to feed people, and they wanted to give them some income. So they looked at crops that had been traditional food crops in the country so that they would be familiar with them, but they just moved them from the ground to benches in the greenhouse. And they targeted disadvantaged people so they could grow food for themselves and also sell that excess food to neighbors to provide some income. And because it's an English-speaking country in the Caribbean, they're bombarded with advertisements from us, so there's junk food everywhere. So they're trying to go back to their healthy, traditional diet that included lots of fruits and vegetables. So again, they wanted to provide food and income to rural households and the disadvantaged. Some of the places that I worked, the first time I was there, the only way to reach them was by boats. We took speedboats out to get to these people. So the program, I think, was very well designed to give them some self-sufficiency and a way of making income. So they started 2011, by 2013, 52 shade houses had been established throughout the region. And in terms of the market is domestic market for the most part, but there are knowledgeable consumers. They need distribution networks, and they have to be fairly low priced to compete with all the international imports that they're receiving. So, again, they focused on hydroponics and up-to-date production methods, a few basic crops. You see celery grown here, and so that they can produce them at a competitive price using some local organic pesticides as much as possible, but materials that are available. So I was there the first year, 2012, looking at cost accounting. The second year, I was invited back to bring Suzanne's project to the women in Guyana who are running these shade houses. And Suzanne's project was started in Turkey in 2011, which it was kind of modeled from Annie's project, if you're familiar with that, through all over the U.S. Annie's project people didn't want me to use the name. So we called it Suzanne's Project in Turkey because my daughter is half Turkish and that's her name, and we were trying to look to the future. So the idea there was take people that were running greenhouses that were considered peasants and looked down on by a lot of people in Turkey and even themselves. They thought, this is what I'm doing because this is all I know what to do, but I want my children to do something different. But they're growing these wonderful vegetables, and you don't see so much junk food in Turkey. So my goal would be to let them see this as a business and grow this healthy food for the people. So we wanted to empower the women farmers to think of this as a business and give them the tools to run a successful business. So the idea was to take Suzanne's project to Guyana, to the female shade house producers there. And there were two different systems that they taught them. One is these trays in greenhouses, the traditional hydroponic way, and then the other is just even small containers and buckets and things, whatever people had available to grow hydroponically some vegetables for themselves. So in 2013, we had seven female shade house growers who completed Suzanne's project, and we had the same thing that we did in Turkey. We focus on business management, the technical skills on how to grow the crops they're looking at, and computer skills. So the first day we gave a history of Suzanne's project and Annie's project in a video. We did a baseline survey of where they were, what they were doing, talked about what's a business plan, why they should have it, why they need it, and develop a mission statement for their farm. And I found in teaching Annie's project in New Jersey and Suzanne's project in Turkey, and now we have a MOFA project that we've done in Europe and Suzanne's project in Guyana, the most empowering thing always seems to be is developing a mission statement. And that's very hard to get across at first, because at first they sort of think, well, I just grow tomatoes. But to think of what they do, why they do it, and how the consumer is impacted with that, and put that all in one statement, somehow we've gotten quicker at getting them to the mission statement. But that seems to be the most empowering part and what they're most proud of. So all the of these seven women came up with a mission statement for their business. So here's Erla's statement. She's, and not only is she growing produce, but she has animals. So she's specialized in rearing animals that are grass-fed and hormone-free. You notice the focus on being sustainable and healthy, and also in growing high-quality vegetables in a sustainable and efficient manner to supply our valued customers effectively to promote healthy lifestyles. So she was quite proud of now having a business and having a mission statement. The second day we worked on review, every day that we have Suzanne's project, we review what the homework was the day before. And in New Jersey, we try to have a class once a week so they have time to reflect on it. I was only in Guyana 2 weeks at a time, so we had to compress that quicker. But we review the homework from the previous day. And so the second day, we did a SWOT analysis. We talked about a business description. Where are you now? Where are you going? Where do you want to be? And we talked about estate planning. And I find in other countries, this is something they don't even want to think about. It's like, I guess, sort of farmers in the U.S., they're going to live forever. And farmers in the U.S. know they need it. They just have postponed it. Other countries, it's hard to get them to even talk about it. But we did mention the need for life insurance, health insurance, and the future of the business. And you see, one of our students had her daughter come to class with her. So she's looking to the future and how to pass this business on to her daughter. 5 minutes. Oh, okay, wow. So we did basic computer skills. Now remember, this is 2013 and the world has moved very quickly in terms of computers since then, but they had not been using computers that much until we came along, but we taught them Excel to do record keeping. That's one of the things they need to do because they're all growing more than one crop. We taught them about basic computer skills to do email, communicating, getting knowledge, and searching for information. Then this is one of those just growing in a bucket, a small amount for, say, just your home and maybe some neighbors. So the third day, we reviewed the mission statement SWOT analysis, talked about their management plan, which is often just the family, the production plan, and had them do that as homework. Then always one of the more popular sessions is the technical part, is how do you grow these crops sustainably with local products and information. So looking at the systems, how to construct that greenhouse, and they already have the shade house, they already have a workbook on how to grow these crops and how to produce and build the shade house, and talking about fertilizing and managing the pest. And then the last business management session was looking at enterprise budgets, income statements, balance sheets, cash flow statements. And this is usually a hard sell, but in Guyana, they really were very interested in, am I making money? How can I turn this into a business? So they all completed their business plans. We had a workbook that they just hand wrote it out. And they felt that the course was really valuable and they wanted to share with other people. And the goals were just very impressive to me. I find very often in third world countries, even though they have very little, they're much more willing to share what they have with other people than I think we are in the U.S. So they're much more conscious of what they're eating. All of them wanted to train other women to run a business and do a business plan, and they want to be able to be business women to help feed their community and produce crops in a better way and So we just felt that it was, the whole project has been a success, but particularly the women that I worked with on the last time are really going to take what they learned and spread it throughout the whole country. They were really proud of what they did. They really were very interested in keeping records and making this a profitable business. They said that they actually are making more money doing this than other things that they could do. So it's, they see it as a positive future for themselves. So hopefully I stayed within my 15 minutes. Do we have time for questions?
We do have time for questions.
Yes. No, they seemed, I'm trying to think. What was the most glaring educational deficiency? I mean, luckily Calvin Craig had already been there, so he had already talked to them about budgets, so they were more prepared for that than I was expecting. They're just very hungry to learn, but it's a very poor country. They're inundated with junk food and KFC and McDonald's and things like that. So I think trying to get them to go back to the healthy diet they had before they were inundated and understand that the traditional diet is more nutritious, I guess. That's not my area, but that seemed to be something that they related to, but I don't think they were grasping before we had the sessions for them. Anything else? Yes. Well, I guess economics is considered a social science. And we did survey them before and after, you know, and so we had a whole big baseline survey that basically we adapted from Annie's project, that they had had somebody come up with their evaluation, but we condensed it for this and then at the end, but we only had 15 minutes to sort of give a quick overview here. But they did, you do have to write an extensive report when you do Partners of America, and they're looking for those kind of things. Yes. There is this organization on the ground that's been working for quite some time, headed up by Calvin Craig, and he's always looking for more funding. I'm not sure who his funding source is now, but he actually has a team of very young, enthusiastic staff, and one of them actually came to get a master's in the U.S. So they go around to each of those regions and follow up. And I mean, I thought it was amazing that from 2011 to 2013, they had already had 52 project, you know, shade houses built, and they were following up and visiting those. And not only that, but a lot of these home little buckets where they're growing fruits and vegetables, I mean, not fruits, but vegetables in the, just for their home use. So that organization is on the ground, but in every country that I visited, you know, there is a disconnect between extension research and teaching. This was mentioned earlier. And it makes you realize how lucky we are in this country that they're all three together, because we did go visit extension, but there was not the connection that I would have liked to have seen between this basically NGO and them. So we, you know, hopefully in the future there will be more of that. And hopefully we won't lose it in this country from lack of funding, because it's so valuable, and you really appreciate that when you go to other countries and realize what you're up against.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Esther, can you give us a brief one more time of insecurity?